your company. Stick with us. We're live in BBC Radio Scotland with you until 4 o'clock. I am Janice Forsyth, in case you didn't hear that. But now, we've had a lot of art on the show. In the first hour, we heard from sculptor David Mack, very, very busy with his giant installation in Glasgow using 5 tonnes of newspapers. And we also heard from the very starry cast of the stage comedy Art. Nigel Havers, Dennis Lawson and Stephen Tompkinson were in Da House. So we'd like to close the show, and we're going to talk about Charles Rennie Mackintosh shortly. So we'd like to close the show around 4:55 with an arty song. So here are just some examples to get your creative juices flowing.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and grey.
And all the time, I just change. He keeps painting.
Pictures are matching.
We're dancing. We're doing chair dancing. What about you? Let me tell you who that was. You probably recognise Don McLean and Starry Starry Night, Vincent, about Vincent van Gogh of Virchley. Another dose of Kate Bush with An Architect's Dream, and that is named after an 1840 painting by American artist Thomas Cole. Every Day's a School Day. Pictures of Matchstick Men, that's Status Quo for L.S. Lowry. And My Baby Does Good Sculptures, which we do like to play in this show now and then, and that's Scottish band The Rosillos. We're not suggesting those. We're just saying that that's the kind of thing we could be looking for, but you probably get tons of great ideas. And if so, we're looking for an arty song to close the show. Anne Ellis is here and she's putting her hand up like, miss, I've got an idea. Hang on a wee minute. 80295 on the text. You can tweet me at BBCRS Afternoons or let us know at the Facebook page. Let's see what we've got. Funny enough, Siobhan Sinnott, who is often on the show reviewing film, says, Matchstick Men, Matchstick Cats and Dogs. Please don't play this. we've got Gagarin on Twitter saying, Pablo Picasso by the Modern Lovers. Funny enough, then she says, she's singing again, Siobhan, saying that, no, don't play that. Gosh, she's... what's she like? Neil Cooper says, Deaf School, A Bigger Splash, David Hockney reference. And let me see what else we've got here. Patrick McCafferty has come up with Mona Lisa, Vincent, Painter Man, Art for Art's Sake, If by Telly Savalas, Brush Up Your Shakespeare, Easel Down the Road from the Wiz. Right, he's got far too many. And I think has stolen the thunder of Anne Ellis, one of our choose reviewers. Okay, Miss, you can speak. Ellis,
the
Anne,
architect
speak.
From Bridge Over Troubled Water.
The architect?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you mean...
Frank Lloyd Wright.
So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright.
So Long, Frank Lloyd.
Do you know what? We played that the other day in the show because we were looking for architects specifically. Anyway, get in touch, 80295, with your suggestions. You can tweet me at BBCRS Afternoons or let us know at the Facebook page. Let's meet our Tuesday Review gang today in Edinburgh. Boo Patterson, a woman of many parts, illustrator, artist, and most excitingly, former circus ringmaster.
I knew you would mention that.
Are we not supposed to
Did you wear your coat specially?
Yes.
We're all in fancy dresses. Yeah, it's a competition between you and I, isn't it?
I know. Are we not supposed to mention it anymore?
No.
It's too blooming brilliant to mention.
It's old news, man.
All right, okay.
It's gone.
Team, take that out of the bio. Don't mention it again with Boo. Here I have always nastily dressed Natasha Raskin-Sharp, TV and radio presenter, art expert. Welcome.
I hope I live up to the hype.
And our all-time favourite art historian and top girl, Anne Ellis. Hello.
Hello there.
Welcome back. So, our gang have been busy reviewing the new Charles Rennie Mackintosh exhibition at Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum in Glasgow. The cultural highlight of the year, Kylie's new album, Golden, and we're beginning with the small screen with a new remake of TV drama Lost in Space. This is Netflix reboot of the 1960s sci-fi drama following the fortunes of the Robinson family, space colonisers whose spaceship goes off course, landing them in a dangerous alien environment. Anne Ellis, was this something that you maybe watched with your wee boy Ben when he was a nipper back in the old days of black and white telly? I'm not that I'm putting you at a certain age or anything. I'm proud of myself in this group as well.
No, I'm afraid I didn't, but I think Space Family Robinson's quite a good one. I like it.
Good.
And I watched it, and it's like a modern day fairy tale set in space. I don't know whether it's Grimm's or Hans Christian Andersen yet, because the first episode, it's a wee bit grim. They've got monsters and things coming in, but you can only hear them in the distance. It's a great... I liked it.
Very good. Boo, what about you? Set up a wee bit of what's going on here. It's quite exciting with the first episode,
well,
isn't it?
It's incredibly tense.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've had enough tension in my life. I don't really like space series, but...
You don't?
No, apart from Blake 7, obviously. But... I haven't seen such gripping underwater swimming since the Poseidon adventure. And I thought they crash land, and when they come out of their module, it's snowing. And I thought, oh no, they're in Fort William. and then of course, they have disaster after disaster, like, you know, touching the void or something. And I thought, well, this is exactly what would happen to me. You know, I would just be wandering, trying to get something to save my daughter. And then I'd fall through the ice, and then I'd fall down a glacier. And so it's just one thing after another. And yeah, and they're still in Scotland. So it's a shame for them. And... I liked it. I don't think I'd watch more because it's just I can't stand the adrenaline.
Right. In case people are getting confused with the name Robinson and they're still in Scotland, Boo's often one here.
Yeah.
They're not in Scotland. It's all a metaphor.
We don't know where they are.
Okay.
We don't. It's snowing, and then there's Scots pines everywhere.
Oh, right.
You know, and I thought, well, you know, where else could it be?
Natasha, were you familiar with the show, the early manifestation of the show? Had you heard of it, Lost in Space?
I had heard of it, but wasn't familiar with it at all. And then I went online to find some clips of the original so I could do a comparison, and was much more compelled by the...
Swat!
Yes!
Yeah, I like that.
No, but I was much more compelled by the original, I have to admit. It was so camp and full of nonsense. And I really felt that this Netflix reboot just took itself a bit too seriously. And not to disagree with you, Boo, because I know they were trying to build the Jeopardy, but I just didn't feel it. What I found myself doing was running the cursor over the screen to see how many minutes had passed.
Oh, I did do that too, but because I was so scared.
Yeah,
I just too much tension for me.
Well, and I thought the beginning was very gripping because they're, you know, I actually very taken by the idea of a family. So you've got this mum and dad and three kids of varying ages. Yeah,
but even sliding through a portal.
Yes, but even at the beginning, because you're aware that something's not right.
Oh, yeah,
they're
attention.
In the dark. They're in the, they're in their module or their whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you know that something's possibly going to go wrong, and they're playing cards.
Oh, definitely going to
with
go
zero
wrong.
Gravity too. That was quite fun watching the cards float through.
But also, didn't you think? What did you think about her continuing her homeschooling while they were in the midst of disaster?
I found it unbelievable.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, but we're in a century that would be doing that, I would suspect.
Well, no, it's 30 years from now.
It's only 30 years?
Yeah, apparently.
This could happen to us.
Oh, do you think I could get that long out of it?
30 years.
I could go up in space. I want to meet an alien before I die. Seriously want to meet
Do you
an
not
alien.
Think the whole thing, though, would requires utter suspension of disbelief?
Yeah,
so
completely.
Therefore, you can understand that a mother just wants to continue the homeschooling, no matter the situation.
Even though she's shattered her leg and her daughter's doing surgery remotely from under the ice. Like, I mean, I can see that people who are into sci-fi would... find it visually arresting. You know, the CGI is pretty amazing. And I know what you were saying about the kind of Grimm's fairy tales element, that it kind of does become that when there's a kind of Iron Giant moment where the hideous robot saves the little boy and then goes back and acts as a patio heater for the rest of them who are freezing in the kind of tundra. So it's this kind of nice moments, but I don't know. I don't buy it.
Well, look, I realise I should have queued this up earlier so people can get a sense of the first episode anyway. So this is doing with the crash land. Here we go.
Okay, let's figure out where we are.
We evacuated the Resolute halfway between home and the colony.
Just call it Earth. It's not your home anymore.
Earth and the colony.
This planet is unlike any we have ever mapped. Wherever we are, it's a Goldilocks planet. Earth-like atmosphere... air pressure, gravity, clearly no lack of water. It's the odds of that happening are... It's like winning the lottery.
Why not dying in a car accident? It's like winning the lottery. So you remember you're in a car accident?
We're lost. No kidding. I can't raise any of the other Jupiters. Resolute will send a rescue party, right?
Oh, dear. I don't think they're going to do that. Sorry, what's wrong, Anne?
It just makes them all sound awful.
It just sounds like...
Well, there's quite a lot of facetious teenage moments, aren't there?
Uh-huh.
Which I quite liked. I thought that's a bit more realistic than, you know, them just all being, you know, chubby-cheeked, you know, lovelies. Like, I imagine they probably were in the 60s series.
Let me just say, name-check who the cast was there. Said here, Molly Parker, Maxwell Jenkins, Mina Sundwell, and Toby Stevens as Maureen, Will, Penny, and John. I think we were missing a party there, one of the party. No, I totally... Natasha, were there any highlights for you? Did you watch the first episode? Did you watch any subsequent episodes?
I stuck with just the first episode. The highlight for me was something you already mentioned, the opening scene with that. You instantly know something strange is going on. They should be relaxed playing a game of cards, but everyone's severely tense. You don't quite know why. That's where we start. And Dobie Gray's 1973 version of Drift Away is playing in the background, which is, of course, perfect, because you imagine her drifting through space. So I therefore thought this was going to be all about brilliant scenes soundtracked by brilliant, you know, 70s and 80s tracks a la Guardian of the Galaxy.
How disappointed you were.
I was, because I know you're talking about the snow scenes, which were beautifully rendered in CGI, but if you're only limited by your imagination, if you can land anywhere in the galaxy, why would the producers choose to land somewhere that looked like Canada or something? So that annoyed me a little bit, and I felt we were waiting too long for that reveal. You know, they're drifting through space, they crash land, we know it's snowing, but 4 or 5 minutes later, we still don't have the reveal. Where are they? And then when it came, it was almost an anticlimax.
But do you not think they're revealing everything in flashback? That's how they're revealing things. There's three people are going to join them.
Nefarious characters.
Well, one is anyway.
Dr. Smith.
And I mean, that's done in a wee flashback. So that's for maybe episode 2 or 3 or something, is it?
And you said you wouldn't go back, Anne. You've got to go back.
I will go back.
You're going to go back.
I haven't got Netflix.
I'll lend you mine.
Good, because I don't have
just briefly, I mean, even at the beginning, Boo, I thought it was quite exciting. We're talking about maybe a lack of imagination with the location and the CGI. But even just that moment when it's kind of like goodbye spaceship, when it just gets utterly submerged. I mean, I've really felt that, like the horrible sense of horror. It's like goodbye life, basically.
There's no doubt about it. It was... I mean, massively gripping when the girl is, you know, the ice covers over the daughter. And then they're, you know, like I say, disaster after disaster. There were a few things just weren't sort of sitting right with me. It's 30 years in the future and they're still using giant Android phones and like clunky Dell laptops. And you kind of think, I don't think it's going to be like that in the future. Oh, you know, we'll have chips in our eyes or something by then.
Well, that's just Glasgow. You're back to Scotland again, aren't you? Thank you very much. That's lost in space.
That's my gift of the technological debate.
With added chips. Lost in Space, available on Netflix from Friday. We'll be reviewing the Charles Rennie Mackintosh exhibition, newly opened in Glasgow, after Bastille, who are playing Edinburgh's Usher Hall tomorrow as part of their reorchestrated tour. Here they are with Pompeii.
From above. close your eyes.